The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. The day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Let us pray. Father of all mercies, we rejoice this day in the knowledge that thou dost come to the hearts of the lowly, and dost brighten by thy light the lives of all who receive thee. Thou didst prepare the souls of men in the distant past for the coming of thy glory to earth. So now prepare our minds and hearts that Christ may dwell in us and ever reign in our hearts as the King of love and Prince of peace. For thy name's sake, amen. Our lesson this morning is taken from the first chapter of Luke's Gospel. According to Moffat's translation, we begin reading with verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a maiden who was betrothed to a man named Joseph, belonging to the house of David. The maiden's name was Mary. The angel went in and said to her, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord be with you." At this she was startled. She thought to herself, "What can this greeting mean?" But the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, you have found favor with God. You are to conceive and bear a son, and you must call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and to his reign there shall be no end." "How can this be?" said Mary to the angel. "I have no husband." The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Hence what is born will be called holy, Son of God. Look, there is your kinswoman Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For with God nothing is ever impossible." Mary said, "I am here to serve the Lord. Let it be as you have said." Then the angel went away. Then Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has joy in God my Savior, for he has considered the humiliation of his servant. From this time forth, all generations shall call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me." This morning, God delivers his word to us through the witness of Mary, the mother of our Lord. The messenger of God wings his way to Mary and tells her that God needs her to deliver a message of incarnate love to his people. How can this happen? Asks Mary. The word of the angel comes to her, God will do it. And then comes the word of Mary to the angel, I am here to serve the Lord. It was then that Mary started singing. She sang of what God would do as if it were already done. Here is her testimony blessing the whole world and us at Christmas. I am here to serve the Lord. We read in the text that after Mary bowed her spirit to the divine purpose, that the angel left her. God could depend on Mary. What is it that Mary teaches us in this lesson? She puts herself at God's disposal. God says to her, Mary, I need you. And Mary answers, I am here to serve the Lord. We can, however, easily understand why Mary asks how she can be the instrument of God for such a divine work. How can I do this, she asks. And God answers, Mary, you will not do it. I will. Mary learns that she can do what God asks her to do because God will bring it to pass. It is when she learns that she needs only to respond to God and not to bring it to pass that she says, I am here to serve the Lord. Mary takes God at his word. She does not reject it. She acts upon it. She believes God can bring his word to pass. In her song, from which we have read a few verses, faith sings of what God does in Jesus to fulfill his hope of redeeming his people. God still comes at Christmas. His word comes especially to those who are waiting for him, to those who are hoping for him. He comes and asks for their help, as surely as he asked for the help of Mary. Not, of course, that they give birth to his son, but that they proclaim his birth. He asked them to bear the message of what he has done and is doing and will do in the world through the birth of that one child. And when men ask, how is this possible? He answers still, I will do it. Now as then, he provides the power for the task to which he calls the sons of men. There is a tendency among us, I think, to make Christmas a far away adventure story which we can read but never really live. Christmas keeps coming as contemporary as our every confrontation with the gospel, and the lesson of Mary faces us. What do we say when God asks our help to spread his good news upon the earth? What songs rise up within our souls because of our commitment to him? God, creator of heaven and earth, needs you and me. Karl Barth has said that in the person of Mary, mankind has a part in the incarnation. Surely today, we who incarnate his gospel serve the incarnation. God needed Mary to bring his son to us. God needs us to carry his son to the world. Let us learn from Mary that the noblest response we can ever make to God is to become channels of his grace. And we can never become channels of his grace until we have become recipients of his grace. He comes to us long before we come to him, But he can open his heart only to those who open their hearts to him. God can no longer use Mary and the shepherds and the wise men and Peter and James and John to tell his story. But he keeps coming at Christmas hoping to find others like Mary who will listen to what he has to say. And we'll see what he can do. He still plants songs in the hearts of men who will say, I am here to serve the Lord. He still comes and asks for our help. It cost him to come to us. And it costs us to go to him. We must be prepared, like Mary, to sacrifice earthly security, to miss earthly comforts, and to be contemned when most committed to the divine. But to pay this price is to receive the greatest of all treasures, to learn, as Mary did, what it really means to say that God has come to the disfigured and disordered world of men. Augustine once wrote, by such a coming, though silent, he urged us as with the sound of a mighty voice to learn how to be rich in him who became poor for us, to accept freedom in him who took the form of a slave for us, to possess heaven in him who sprang from earth for us. God did not call Mary to do his work, but to receive it and proclaim it. Her response was that of humility, faith, and obedience. God does not call you and me to do his work, but to receive it and proclaim it. He calls us, as he called Mary, to be the channels of his grace. Our obedience becomes a channel by which his grace is communicated to the world. Martin Luther wrote, this is for us the hardest part, to believe that this Son of God is ours. It's a great consolation for us that divine majesty became flesh and blood. But an even greater consolation, if we can believe that it happened for us. Surely, Luther wrote, if one believed this, the heart would break in 1,000 pieces for joy. God calls us now at Christmas to accept the freedom that consists in openness to his grace. He calls us now at Christmas to enter the freedom of service and the service of freedom. God no longer needs to call Mary, but he still needs you and me. Remember Mary and what she said when God needed her. I am here to serve the Lord. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give my heart. Let us be seated to pray. And now, O Lord, as we leave thy house, grant that we will not leave thee. Thou hast come to us to save us, so we pray thee to deliver us from every evil and every trial that may befall us. In thy mercies, grant us the joy of Christmas and the blessing of gathering again in this place to rejoice in thy light and declare thy salvation. Through Christ our Lord, we pray.